is the middle range instrument of the violin family. It is sometimes disdainfully referred to as the big fiddle. Much has been conjectured and written about the historical and musical reasons for the viola's subservient position before the 20th century to the more brilliant violin and powerful cello. The viola has perhaps suffered the ups and downs of musical treatment more than any other stringed instrument. In the late 16th and early 17th century, it held much the same position in the orchestra that the first and second violins occupy today. The violin, with its higher pitch and its more exquisite tone color, was constantly knocking at the door, and the viola found itself servant where once it had been master.
Almost 10 years after I started on violin that I switched to viola, I went to a small private college. It was up in Erie, Pennsylvania. It was called Mercyhurst. When I first joined there, we only had one viola player. So for chamber music options, he was our viola player. And then after he graduated, there weren't any incoming viola students. So in order to keep doing chamber music, one of the violinists had to take up viola just to fill the spot. And I volunteered to try it out and I ended up really liking it. And it suited my taste. The way I play personally is that I've never really been that interested in kind of showing off on the instrument. And most of the violin repertoire is there to kind of show off and be flashy and do fireworks and that kind of thing. So I think part of what drew me to the viola was the fact that the repertoire was more melodic, and the non-solo works where you'd mostly play, you know, a support role, and like in orchestras you'd be playing the middle voices and have the rhythmic parts that drive the melody rather than, you know, playing the melody. And I guess I've always kind of been a background kind of person, making sure that things work behind the scenes rather than being out in front and showing off. So as far as roles go, the role of the viola, I think, suits me better.
Andrew Thompson is a professional viola player, a multifaceted individual, known for his natural musicality and passion for learning new musical styles and instruments.
My parents enjoyed music a lot. My grandmother on my dad's side was a concert pianist, and my dad never studied seriously, but he would always have fond recollections of sitting underneath his mom's piano while she was practicing. So he always had a love of music, and I think probably my earliest memory is that at one point when we were on a family trip to go visit relatives, we had an old cassette tape of Beethoven's Emperor Concerto. I'd always loved that piece so much that whenever we were in the car, I'd start humming along, and even if the tape wasn't playing. And then there's sometime around when I was 10 years old that it was during summer vacation, and, you know, I was just kind of being a kid and doing nothing productive at all. And my dad said, you know, why don't you go do something productive, like learn to play the violin? So I just took him up on that, and it ended up being a lot of fun, and I ended up really enjoying it. It's kind of hard to say what exactly was attractive about it at first. When I started out, I was fairly small, so we had to have a fairly small size violin, which obviously doesn't sound that great. And violin's one of these instruments where it sounds beautiful if you can play it well, but if you can't play it well, it sounds pretty horrible. So I'm not entirely sure how I made it through the first year with my desire to play still intact. But after I made it past, you know, the first learning curve, then it was just all fun from there. It's definitely more common to start with violin and go to viola, but I have known some people that have started with viola and never touched a violin. It's definitely more rare, though. Part of the issue with that, with starting on viola, is that the spaces on the instrument are bigger. It requires you to have either big or very flexible hands. And a lot of times if you're starting, you know, at 10 or younger, it's impossible to know what your child's hands are going to be like when they become, you know, 20 years old.
Andrew is currently a member of the Latin band Calle Sol, the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas, and the Arkansas Philharmonic Orchestra. He occasionally performs with the Tulsa Symphony as well. He keeps improving on what he's doing, playing with more groups and getting more exposure.
There's violin, viola. I also play bass, both upright and bass guitar, as well as the guitar. And then there's a couple others that I've picked up through similarities, like, for example, the mandolin. The left hand, you play it like a violin, and the right hand, you play it like a guitar. So I was able to pick that one up pretty easily. And, you know, a couple other similar kind of instruments where I can use the knowledge that I've gained from other instruments. One of the other fun things I did when I was in the university here is I was in the Collegium Musicum, which was the medieval music ensemble. So when I was there, I learned, you know, how to play some recorder. They had a lute there that I learned some basic lute technique on, and viola da gamba, which is a lot of fun, which is kind of, for those who aren't familiar with that instrument, is kind of the predecessor to the violin family. The gamba comes from the Italian word, I think, meaning leg. You held them like kind of like a cello, but you'd hold them between your legs. They didn't have an end pin that would rest on the floor, so it was, you know, you kind of had to push in with your knees to make sure that it didn't fall. And they came in a variety of different sizes. It wasn't just the bass instruments. You'd even have, you know, instruments that were the size of a violin that you'd hold between your knees. One of the other kind of interesting things about that is that you would hold the bow underhanded, usually with violin and viola, you hold it overhanded. And so it was kind of the reverse of the bow grip that I was used to. There's kind of a little bit of a residual technique of that, though, in bass, the German-style bow grip, which is where you hold it underhanded. It's a different bow shape than the viola da gamba bows, but it's kind of the same idea.
Whenever we hear it said that the viola ranks among the less expressive instruments, we may be sure that the speaker has not had the instrument properly revealed to him. Andrew shares an old story about a famous viola composer, and later on he demonstrates the basic differences between the viola and the violin.
There was kind of an interesting story, though, about this was in the early 20th century. There was a composition contest for writing a viola solo. It came down to a tie between two pieces. One was written by Bloch, who is a famous viola composer. I believe he was born in Switzerland, but spent a lot of his time in Cleveland. And this other one was by a composer that nobody had ever heard of before. And it was something that was kind of obvious that it was a pen name, because the composer didn't want their identity to be revealed. So there was kind of a big, not exactly a scandal, but people were trying to guess who this person actually was. And it ended up being a woman from England named Rebecca Clark. And both those two sonatas, the Bloch and the Rebecca Clark sonata, have become kind of some of the staples of the viola repertoire. So, for example, here are the four open strings on the viola. And then the four open strings on the violin, you'll notice that that three of the notes are the same. But with a higher note instead of a lower note. And for example, with on the violin, because the highest string is pure metal, then it has a very kind of a piercing, high quality sound when you're going into the higher range. Whereas the same thing on the viola would sound a little bit strained because of the high string is thicker and it's wound rather than a pure metal. And then of course the strings themselves are bigger on the viola, so on the same strings, for example, you get a slightly different kind of a feeling to it. One of the famous techniques for violin solos is to write passages that show off the low string, which for example here is the G string. In fact, there's a famous Bach air that was arranged to be able to be played entirely on the G string, which sounds a little bit like this. Sorry to cut it off mid-phrase, but then to contrast that with the same fingering and the same string on the viola. So it's got a little bit more of a kind of a thick sound to it. On the violin, when you're playing in the low register, there's kind of, it almost feels like you're straining the instrument a little bit, whereas with the viola in the same register, it kind of feels like there's more to give and you just kind of have to keep drawing the sound out. One of the other differences that you have with the fact that the violin has so much thinner strings is that the bow has a much easier time engaging it. So for example, if you're playing faster notes, then on the viola, it's going to sound, because the bow requires more work to make the strings speak, you're going to have a different sound than you can get on the violin. For example, playing some fast notes on the low strings on the viola. Whereas on the violin can have more of a kind of a brushy type of sound to them. So the violin, you can kind of be a little bit more acrobatic and a little bit more, I guess, lighthearted. Whereas with the viola, because the strings require more work to get the sound out of it, tends to sound a little bit more almost heavy, but not heavy in kind of a clumsy kind of way.
In the extra story, you will have the chance to learn about the history of the instrument, the characteristics, and the technique. Visit www.kuaf.com/ozarks@large.